Only if it's actually a good cheer. Okay, guys, let's get started. We're gonna pick up here on page 14. Everybody have a good handle of the three sugyas we saw so far, Bavasra, Gittin, and Erchin. So at Ezra's request, we're gonna take a quick look at the Gemara in Kedushin. Ezra?
Yeah,
no. Let's get somebody else to read quickly. Anybody prepare the Gemara in Kedushin mem test? Fire, just take it through it quickly.
Oh, God, I'm going to the say I died to my Mesa Claire Israel. The guy stole a little stuff and we mentioned the Mikalia. But in the Zabin, Bohammer will be, they didn't mention that explicitly when he was out. Marava, Hari Garnsha Vilev, Garnsha Vilev, and Bark. He said that's not a, oh, so it's not a valid Kanai, because it was only Garnsha Vilev.
Right, so the question is if things don't work out, would that invalidate the sale? Because we know that he only sold it with intention to go to Israel. So we said, Garnsha Vilev, Lava. From Shabalev, Lav and Dvarim, correct?
Yeah.
Go on.
So,
how do we know? How do we know this principle? Ask the Gemara.
Yeah.
We know the Rabbah.
I don't know. From Shabalev, don't ask. You leave in a pub. Nam Yafri will sell. Malavish Kofin will sell. Yafabah Korbal. One Har. Let's
know. I just want to make a comment about the process here. What's the Gemara doing? What's the methodological project here? Sorry, what's the project? Yeah, Rava, who's an Amora, has a statement. Dvarim Shabalev, Lav in Dvarim. He's trying to test the thesis. Right? The Gemara is trying to test the thesis. How does the Gemara do that? We're looking at some established law from the Brises. And we're trying to see, do the Brises embody, do they reflect that principle of Dvarim Shabalev, Lav in Dvarim? So the first price that we turn to is the price, the Mishnah in Erechin, Yaakov Oso.
Yeah. So, Yaakov Oso and Lach Oso. So, Yaakov Oso, Porfo, and Lomo, there's no. Okay, so, Yaakov Oso, Lach Oso, Lomo, and Wetzel. And so, Yamai, so why is that valid? Pablibe, Lomitole. Allow the Jom Dabi, and Dr. Blade, and Dr. So, this is the good proof, because internally, Belibe, he's not me, it's not the broken, but externally he says votes on me. And therefore, by force of the temple, aren't sure they get in front of him. That's how that works.
So notice that what's the Gemara assuming here?
Completely not Nicholas.
Yeah. The Gemara here assumes that even after Kofinoso, his leave is Lo Nichole. The Gemara here seems to be rejecting the idea that Kfiya makes it Agavonse Gamar Machni. Correct? Now, the Gemara has a response to this. So why is it valid? I mean, so the Gemara has a response that you can't prove from here Dvarim Shabalev Lav and Dvarim.
Right.
Shiny Hasam.
No, Shiny Hasam. The Anan Sahadi, the Nikalev Opera. But no, we can assert the confidence that he is internally happy about this.
So the Gemara here seems to now do a walk back and say, maybe in this case, there are good grounds for thinking that his lave is on board for bringing the carbon. And on Sadi, he needs lave kapara. Yes? Now, this is a stronger language, I believe, than we had in Baba Basra, because the Gemara says, and on Sadi, he needs lave kapara. Like, we know. So it's a postulate that's accepted. And on Sadi, you're familiar with that concept, right? Where a witness is, it's established, it's known to us that he wants the kapara, in which case it is nichale, but again, not because of the coercion. It's nichale because of the benefit that accrues to him of having kapara. Everybody see that? Right, go on. Zakaria.
Elamiseipa,
what are we trying to prove?
I prove that Rav Shaliv are not blind.
Good.
So
Gitei Nashim. So just the same question posed on to the Gittin case. Must be Don Shalev Lavin Dvarim. So again, the Gemara is assuming that we don't say that the Kfiyah itself gives you reason to consent to the Gerushin. Doesn't mean that you are on board given that you're a force. So what does Gemara say? A lot of Mishnah Don Shalev Lavin Dvarim. Gemara says, no, Don Mishani Yasam. Meaning?
And therefore, presumably, even the Rav Shaliv are on board with this situation.
Yeah, like we could postulate that because the Mitzvah Shema Adi V'Chachamim, this guy is on board for it. Want to say everyone wants to do what's right, to put it in.
There's one way of reading. This fits better with like one of the versions if you weren't trying to read it.
Yeah. What's that?
That's more about how the Rashba.
I don't want to hear about the Rashbam.
How I read it.
Okay. Hold up on the Rashbam still. This works better in the context of Kedushin with the notion that the person's das internally is genuinely on board for the get because of Mitzvah Shema Devechamim. I think that's just what you get from this context because it's trying to figure out whether Pivilibo Shavin. And then we're saying, yeah, in fact, this is what he has in mind. Everybody see that? Okay. Now, this conclusion seems to be at odds with the Gemara in Bava Basra. Why is it at odds with Bava Basra? I believe this is what the Rashba is getting at. Rashba is not on the sheet yet, but it's fine. Ned? Well, you weren't here last year, but what's the Gemara's Maskan in Bava Basra? That's basically saying that the reason why Kfiya is valid is because the coercion gives him reason to consent. You want the pain to cease, so you consent to divorce. That's different. That's the Maskana of the Gemara in Bava Basra. That's different from the sense you get in Kedushin, where the Gemara seems to be saying it's these external reasons that explain why a person's lev is on board. Mitzvah Shema Debrei Chachamim, Nichle Da'avi Kapara, different types of rationales. Josh?
Isn't Agav Unsa just like the answer for the Maskana of Kfiya Zavin? It's not, why is the contradiction?
Because once you have that as an answer for Tlyuva Zavin Zvine Zvini, that could serve as a general theory for why all Kfiyos are valid.
Okay, good. Like, it's not necessarily contradictory. It's not necessarily.
But it's overdetermined, right? Because you have two sufficient reasons, each of which is sufficient to explain why, carbon and get, right? Number one is like, he wants the pain to stop so badly that he consents genuinely. The other is, everyone wants to listen to the Chachamim, everyone wants Kapara, right? So you now have two reasons. David?
I mentioned this when we talked about Tlyuva Zavin, but I don't really think that they're too different. I think it's really they're both internal motivations. Like saying, I want to listen to the Chachamim or I want the reward of listening to the Chachamim and I don't want to feel pain right now are both really internal feelings. It's just one happens to be positive and one's negative.
That's fine, but they're different internal feelings, right?
Yeah.
So you have two things that are pushing you to give a get.
Doesn't matter as long as
we have one.
Meaning, the point is we want to
think about
it.
The point is you have two different Gemaras, each of which is emphasizing a different dimension of the consent.
Maybe one is more applicable for one person versus another.
Some okay, so that's what Josh is saying, right? Maybe in Echanami, you have two different bases for Kfiya. Mitzvah Shema Debe Chachamim and Agavon Tzikam Ramachni.
I think that the thing is people are different. Some people are more motivated by some things, and we want a valid consent. So some people will be motivated by this.
Fair enough. Just look for a second at Rashi and Kedushin, top of page 15. Mitzvah Shema Debe Chachamim. What does he say? It's Rashi and Kedushin. Zakaria?
Mitzvah Shema Debe Chachamim. Islam Lachaduke, Mecheskas, Mekayim Mitzvah. The Gomer Belief, all the kind, they're a basement. So we can presume we have a chazaka that he is intending to fulfill the mitzvah, and therefore he internally concluded and decided in order to fulfill the words of the Beit.
Yeah. So what anything strike you here?
There's just a Islam Namazuke, which has special kind of mitzvah. There's not like a kind of certainty.
Exactly. There's a presumption that everybody wants to fulfill mitzvos. And so, you know, we could apply that presumption to this fellow. So if generally he wants to do mitzvos, then we could assume that he had das to fulfill the Dibur Bezdin.
One of the questions picking up from the lack of an unstudy.
That is just a mere chazaka as opposed to the first one. Possibly. Yeah. Yoni?
Why is it problematic with the case in both last? I think that case is fundamentally different in that there's no really like miss or anything attributed to it. Like there's no nikale at the end of the case.
In the selling case of that's a mitzvah to Israel.
Yeah. There's no mitzvah.
But forget about that case. Let's just focus on the Gemara's analysis of the two rayos that it was trying to bring from Karbanos and Gittin. Yeah, right. The Gemara is saying those cases, but that's where the different emphasis is. The Gemara is saying those cases work because we know that his lave is on board because Mitzvah Shema Devei Chachamim Nichalei Dehavi Kapara. That's in tension with what the Gemara says in Bava Basra, which is Lamaskana, that all these cases should work because Aga Bonse Gamra Magni. Right? When a person wants the pain to go away, they consent to what it is that you're forcing them, right? To what it is that they have to consent to. Romy, you had a hand on this?
Yeah, meaning it's not just because the Gemara there is engaged, meaning the Gemara tradition is not interested in this whole field. I mean, it doesn't really care, I guess you could say, if this is the right interpretation of the Korbanos case or the Gittin case.
You could say it's just a Dechi of Alma.
Meaning, and especially because the conclusion, if he needed to be applied to the conclusion, I think we would say the dividing conclusion of Basra here wouldn't change the Gemara Tradition's point, which is that you can't learn about the religion in these cases.
That's fine. But then you're basically saying that the Gemara in Kiddushin is just throwing out weak explanations.
No, it's not a weak explanation, because just for this Gemara's purpose is just as good. Meaning, if the Gemara Tradition said, I wouldn't take someone back, that would still be, you can't learn about the religion here. So there's no need for this purpose of the Gemara Tradition question, you don't need that.
Right, but I'm saying, but once the Gemara gives those rationales, why don't those rationales work to explain the Kfiyah case?
I guess what I'm saying is if the Gemara included that part within Bava Basra and went on for a couple of lines, I would say why the Gemara Tradition blocked a couple of lines and taking something that's not relevant to what it's talking about.
So. Explain that again.
Meaning, I think you could argue both ways. Meaning, if the Gemara did include the line,
which Gemara?
If the Tradition included an extra piece or line or two, whatever that Bava Basra has, I would give a retribution and say, why are you saying something that's irrelevant to the point that you're making?
It's not irrelevant. The Gemara would be saying that this is his lave is actually to give the get because Agamonse Gamar Makni.
And you already made the point, meaning, which would then serve the point that Dharma should believe you can't prove non filling in the Dharma, right? Because the lave is to be given. So it wouldn't have added anything necessary. It would have just been again.
But which is the true explanation for why the person's lave is. Shavu Belibo.
Correct. I just think, you understand. I mean,
Josh is saying they're both true, and the Gemara just chose one. Could have said Agavon Tzikam Ramakni, but the Gemara just went with the Mitzvah Shmada Bechachamim and Nichale Dulhavale Kapara. But the point is, you see that there are different, the Gemara in Kedushin is leaning on different bases for explaining what the person's will is than the Gemara in Bava Basra. Okay. We covered the Melech Shlomover, great length. We spoke about the Yachin. Everybody okay with the model of the Yachin? It's worth, if you want to look into that practical decision stuff, Google around. You could find some interesting stuff on reasons, motivating reasons, normative reasons. Worth pursuing what the structure is for. What does it mean to make a decision? What does it mean to say Gamar Makni? Like, what does it mean to have an all things considered decision? We'll talk about this later on, but I think you should Google around, see if you find some.
I'm going to try to.
What?
Some video.
No, look on the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy if you want something good. Yeah. Okay. Now, I want us to go back to the Rambam's formulation for a minute. Just let's start on top of page 17 for a second. Who wants to take us through the Rambam carefully? Ned, is that a hand? Misha Din? Louder.
Misha Din, you should hope that's about right. That was the rest of the time. Please do just have a call and go down and not to the chamber. But you have to go, yeah, the cool line of the day. So a person gets get in, you force them to do the act. They can show them what's being met. The claim to my crew, but under the last thing I should show them.
Yeah, go on.
We only can call it anus if he's not forced to do it by the door or obligated to do it from the law.
Right. So we don't say anus whenever you're forcing somebody to do something that he is supposed to do.
Right. We see from here, I think, like the Rambam's opinion is on anus de nafshe and anus de achrine. Anus de achrine is when somebody else is forcing you, another thing is forcing you to do something that's not a mitzvah or that's not an avera. And anus nafshe is when you're anusing yourself to do an avera or to not do a mitzvah.
It's interesting. So you want to say that anus de nafshe means you are forcing yourself. And to do an avera falls into that category of anus de nafshe. It's very interesting. What do you guys make of that suggestion? In the Gemara, it sounds like internal versus external. And you're saying maybe the Rambam here means anus de nafshe is self-coercion, as distinct from excursion from without.
Yeah.
You're saying. Josh, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I was thinking similar lines, but I'm not sure if it works out in the end, because meaning when we said it on Istanashi before, I mean that was saying that
till you have his ovens in his
case. We were saying over there that doesn't count as like an onus. Like, okay, that's not like meaning that's some sort of lesser form of onus. So we're kind of gonna say that's not an onus if you want to do the sale. But here we're kind of saying the opposite, I think. Like here we're saying that onus atzmo, meaning this onus atzmo that he's doing is an actual onus thing, that now it's okay for us to like beat him up to get rid of that because that's not his real decision. That's onus atzmo. You know, like I'm not sure if it's
line up. Josh is saying that here, anas atzmo is a way of saying that he's not acting freely. Whereas in the Gemara, anas de nafshe is a way of saying he is acting freely.
But I was like thinking, like, well, as long as possible.
Interesting. Aims at anas mimenu, elohu anas atzmo. I think Benny's right that you do get the sense that the Rambam is drawing on, you know, is he being coerced or is he coercing himself? Josh's point is that if he's coercing himself, then what? And that's a reason
like,
for us to.
Like in terms of the Gemara, onus atzmo over here, you would say like he's, you know, that's not onus, basically.
Right.
I mean, that would not be, but here it sounds like he's saying that it is considered onus because this is something that we're going to beat him up to get rid of.
Maybe. It's interesting. The Gemara's case is still a different case. That's like until you have a Zevin Zvina Zvina case. It would be interesting, though, to see to work further to connect the dots that Benny is suggesting. I like the suggestion a lot. But Josh's point is well taken, that the context is a little different and the way the Rambam's using it seems to be he thinks there is a type of onus here, just we're saving him from the onus. Is that the idea? Yeah, we need to think more about it. But I like the suggestion. Benji, you have a hand on this?
Yeah,
Yeah, I think Betty's point is very interesting in that it might imply that homunculus would be something that's like very natural and very intuitive, and to like deviate from that is like kind of to force yourself to do that. Like,
yeah, well, that's the al-shaykh that we saw.
Right, I mean, I thought that was more of like a metaphysical soul kind of argument, whereas yeah.
Well, the al-shaykh said what? He's explaining the Rambam.
Right, but I think maybe keep the realm on a less metaphysical acceptance, let's say that, like, how long is it supposed to be, like, something that's, I think, regarding what's talked about this, something that, you know, it's supposed to be, like, intuitive, and it's supposed to be, like, ingrained in the culture and everything, you know, it's not supposed to take any, like, consciousness and be able to follow the law, it's just supposed to be, like, the thing that's naturally happening.
You're naturally going, like, cheeseburgers?
Yeah. And then,
so then
you have to like force yourself.
You have to what?
You have to force yourself to deviate from.
From halacha.
Yeah. In like a real, this lowercase world.
Man. We have thoughts on Benji's. Ned's upset with it.
I've written that.
You're good, Ned. Nice try, Benji. Ned doesn't like it. I think you're biting a like. What you're suggesting is bite it. You're like, it's a big chew.
Yeah.
You're biting off a lot. I mean, like, you're trying to say it's like a big theory of like halacha in general that it's supposed to be.
I mean, kind of presupposed big theory of.
Well, no, because I think the Rambam is not saying it. The Rambam is saying like you should. This is what you should want to do. What's right. That's different than saying it's easy or natural to do what's right. And then when you're forced to do what's wrong, that's a type of external force acting on you.
Even if it's the most natural thing in the world.
Even if what's the most natural thing in the world?
Doing the wrong thing.
Right.
It's very easy, very intuitive.
Correct. Like I think it's very easy or natural to do what's wrong, but you still desire or want to do the good. Want to do what's right. That's how I understand the Rambam. Ned, do you agree? Okay, so what's the theory of the Rambam in the end of the day? Hari Anasu. So what's the thought? Ain Omrim Anas, Elamisha Nilchatz and Nilchalax is Dover Shinu Machuim and Atar Lasso. So, Elamisha Takfo Yitzro Hara Levatel Mitzvah, Ain Ze Anas Mimenu. This is a very striking Rambam. Where does the Rambam get this from? What's his makar? That onus only applies when it's against the Torah? Where do you get this from? Yeah, so the Magen Mishnah thinks that, I think it's the Magen Mishnah. What?
What did you say? Like from the phrase, it's the one that has that solved onus value.
Right, the Magen Mishnah thinks the Rambam gets it from Mitzvah L'Shema Devei Chachamim, which means that we assume that people's desires are in line with what the Torah wants them to be doing. Right, Zachariah?
Yeah.
So maybe, do you think that's a good explanation? Do you think that's a good source for the Rambam? That he gets this from Mitzvah L'Shema Devei Chachamim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Rambam is clearly running with it and developing it, but the core might be there in the Gemara. The Gemara is assuming that, at least in Kedushin, but also in Bava Basra, that a person wants to do what the Chachamim want him to do. And so the thought is there, we're just helping him discover his underlying desires. So we're kind of pointing him in the path that he already wants to undertake. And so there's no onus when you are helping a person act in the manner that they want to act. Yes? Okay. Lafikach, go on, Ned.
That's why, so,
Say it again.
It's a known fact that like it's not a fact that like it's this
that what Me'alfa Shiruot Leos Misro.
Yeah.
Okay. And by natural fact you mean
he wants to be part of Israel.
So we know this guy wants to be Jewish. Ruotu Lasos Kalamitzvos. Will his Rachik Menaveros? And what is going wrong with him? Yetzer Ushatokro. He's under the influence of his bad Yetzer. And then what is the Makos doing? Right. So once we help him discover his true wants, then the Gerushin is considered Lertzono. Yes? Does this theory make sense to you guys? How does it sound like Gomer Machna?
Oh, like once we force you to do it, it reflects the fact that you want to, it reflects the true will.
Josh is giving you a furrowed brow.
I think Gomer Machna might be a way of saying, like, now he's changing his mind based on something else. I think this is saying, like, it's not Gomer Machna, it's just, like, always, you know, he always wanted
to. Yeah. I think Josh is right. That Josh is right. I mean, I think what's doing the heavy lifting here is not the Agavon Segamar Machni. It's the Mitzvah Shema Debechachamim, which underlies the Rambam's theory. The Machinos, the Agavon Segamar Machni, is doing some side thing of making sure that there's not too much blockage covering his true Ratzon. But the reason why we could say that he has genuine Ratzon is because of his underlying mitzvah lishma, his underlying ratzon to do what is right. Yes?
Yeah, even further, that as we pointed out before, that it could be the makos are not even dealing with the ratzon at all in a certain sense. They're just getting it to stay ratzon.
Good. So it all depends on how you read this last phrase. Kivan shehuka adje toshash yitzro v'ama rotzani kvar gireish lertzono. So what's that line doing in the Rambam? Bobby, what's that line doing in the Rambam? What? Here's the mind. Here's the written mind. All this nefesh. Here's the yetzer. And here's what's the thing that's opposite the yetzer?
The yetzer covered up.
No.
The makud.
Does the Rambam give us a phrase here? Rutzehu lasos kol ha-mitzvos ulisrachik min averos. Yeah. In the Rambam, you get the sense that it's ritzono, but in the Elshitz analysis of it, you get tohar nafsho. Yeah. So this is the mind. What's his like genuine will? At bottom, the Rambam says the genuine will at bottom is to do what?
Yeah.
He wants, you know, we say mitzvot, but also the shmader and the panim. But the yetzer is oppositely inclined. Yes? What?
This seems very furry.
Really? What's Freudian about it?
Oh, no, just like this idea of like
different forces like, in the mind.
Yeah, you're like, you want this, but actually you want this. And then if they interact.
Well, the point is when you say you want this, it's ambiguous because there are competing forces in your wants. I think that's uncontroversially true, no?
No, it is. Like, what is more about
like, you never find yourself in like competing wants?
No, it is true. You don't
want to do a little more work, but you also want to go to bed.
Or you can call it
a designer. You never have that phenomenon.
But this is the lead.
Sure, but I'm just not getting a lot of time to start. So I was just saying that, look, there's like this thing called Ritsono, and there's a thing called Yitzro, which is superimposed against Yitzro. Right? So the Yitzer here doesn't want to divorce, right? Is that the case? Doesn't want to...
Right.
Now, okay, let's say that you want mitzvos, but the mitzvos is the divorce. So the question is, you have these competing things. Now, in the Rambam's view, which of these is necessary for Gershim Lertzono? This is Nachashir wrote to Leos Mishrael, wrote to Lasses Palamitis of Strachik Menaveros. So is Ram saying that Ritsono is sufficient? As long as you have Ritsono, you have Das Gershin. And then the Kfiya is just there. Why are you beating him in the first place? Why are you beating him at all?
If his Yetzer wanted a divorce, that would be sufficient as well.
What?
If his Yetzer wanted a divorce, it would be sufficient as well. But just how to agree that Zietzer doesn't want the divorce, then you have to sort of knock it away.
Right, but I'm asking for Ratzon Lagarish. Why am I sense of Hendeina that you need their consent? Is it enough to have the Tohar Nafsho wanting to divorce?
Definitely, yeah.
Well,
definitely.
Definitely?
Yeah.
And why are we... Why are we beating the Yates there?
You just need to come.
Get rid of the Yates to come.
That's why you need it to disappear.
No, you need the guy to actively divorce his wife.
No, because that's the question, right? So why is, when the Ram says, Kivan Shehuka, Achitashas Yitzar, Bomarotani, Kvar Girish, Lertzono. So is the thought here that Ratzon, it's a bad, let's call this volition. Volition, yeah, let's say you have to divorce volitionally. Let's just take that as the din that has to be satisfied. So what is volition? So one theory is to say, this is going to be a theory one, volition is just the Yetzer plus the Ritzono. It's some summation of the two. And so you have to have a positive Ritzono, and you have to beat the down the Yetzer. And if you get a positive divorce after summing the Ratzon against the Yetzer, then you have volition divorce. So basically, that's one way of thinking about this. Is that the way you think about it? But what it means to act volitionally to satisfy is to have that your Ratzon and Yetzer net total want to do Gershin. The second theory is to say that volition equals
Yetzer greater.
What?
Just Ratzon?
Just Ratzon, yeah. Which is always there. What? You beat him just because you need him to initiate the Maisa Gershin. Yeah, and that's okay, that's kind of like the 2 days where we're trying to figure out why does he have to say Rotsani? Right, so you're not beating him to get volition. You're beating him just to make sure that the Baal is the one who writes the get. So now when you read the language of the Rambam, which one of these is he endorsing? Theory one or theory two? Ned. Well, why do you say that? Okay, Machlokas, Ned, and Josh. Ned, do you think it's...
Sounds like he's afraid of the Yetzer.
Well, he's not going to act to divorce until the Yetzer is muted.
Right.
So maybe you're just beating the Yetzer to get him to act, but not to supply the Ratzon. Josh, what do you want to say?
Well,
I think if like Mejia could read that phrase right after the underline or highlight, I think Kevin Chaguka actually flashed up Yitzro. And what was the point of doing that? The Amar Rotza Ani, which has nothing to do with his actual thoughts. You have to beat him and get rid of the Yitzro only for him to say Rotza Ani. That's all we need. Once you say Rotza Ani, Kfar Girish, so now the Rotzon you already had. So as soon as you say Rotza Ani, you're being divorced with the Rotzon you already had. But the reason we have to beat him was just to get divorced.
Yeah, or even just Kvar Girish. Right, it's just to get the Gerushin going. But the Rutzon is supplied by the underlying conviction that he's wrote to Leos Mistral and to do the mitzvos.
That would make Rutzon here mean the same thing that's on there. Also.
Yeah, I think that's the nice thing about this read. Right, it's very magic in the Rambam that he uses, let me just make sure that's correct. Yeah. Well, the Lashon of Rotza is a little ambiguous, but let's see. Is that she'eino Rotza Ligarish? That's a little unclear, right? Me'achar shehu Rotza Elios Mi'Yisrael, Rotza hu lasos kol ha-mitzvos. So he wants to do the mitzvos. I do think it's right that Rutzon works out nicely, that that's all the underlying conviction, not what's being pushed back by the Yetzer. That's your point, Josh, right? Yeah. Ned, do you disagree with Josh's reading?
No.
You think it's a good reading? Okay. Daniel?
I agree with it. But it's not like the final thing. It's both Shatisha Yitzro and Omar Rotani.
But that's just saying Rotani.
You're right.
But that's not
necessarily the end goal. It's both. You want both to have the desire to want to work, but also to do conciliation. You have to do.
But the muting of the Yitzer is just to get him to act. Right, that's the well.
I can say
arguably, right? I'm saying on Josh's theory, the das is there. He's not acting because Yitzro Mizgabra love. If you could take away the Yitzro Mizgabra love, then the action will go through. But the das is, that's why it's not onus, right? It's not onus because you're not forcing him to do something. All you're doing is taking away the Yitzro, which is preventing him from doing something.
Yeah, you need a god. You need the Yitzro to be away.
So why do you need the Yitzro to be away? So on theory two, you don't need to destroy the Yetzer to get Ratzon. The Ratzon's there. You just need to destroy the Yetzer to get him into action. On theory number one, you need to destroy the Yetzer to supply Ratzon.
Totally different Yetzer or remove the Yetzer.
What?
Okay, just totally destroy the Yetzer or just
remove
the Yetzer?
Either is fine. For our purposes, even right. Just the mutant.
I'm not fully understanding the difference in the theory one and theory two. In both of them, if you want to take theory one to use the Yetzer, you need that also in theory two.
The question is, what is muting the Yetzer accomplishing? In theory one, it's getting you Ratzon. In theory two, you already have Ratzon. You're just getting action. You're getting the action, the act of Gerushin. Right, see that? Yoni? And not Shoni.
So according to theory two, how would Leo's Evan doing your work if he doesn't have that Russian?
Well, none of this is relevant to Tolio Vizavin's Vini Zvini because there's no underlying chiv to do something. So you have no underlying ratzon.
Yeah.
So that could work through the mechanism of Agavon Segamur Makni.
So you're saying there would be different mechanisms?
There would be different mechanisms for the different cases of Tfiyah.
Exactly.
It's very, very possible. It's clear the Rambam here is not relying on Agavon Segamur Makni for a Gerushin. That's not the conceptual basis for the Rambam's ruling.
Yeah.
Right? Zeb? Nachshoni then Zeb. Sorry.
For theory one, would it work to say Achieving? doesn't actually matter if he's here with the center, you just kind of.
Yeah, for theory one, no. For theory one, you need the kfiya to get ratzon.
He wasn't always there, but he's needed to sort of.
Not according to theory one, because according to theory one, well, let's call it a coalition.
It's sort of like pushing past the aid, so if you get the ratzon, that's it.
Well, according to theory one, what you're calling ratzon is volition, where he has to divorce volitionally. And you don't have volitional action so long as the Yetzer is impinging on the ratzon.
Right. So I just meant the ratzon is there. It's just being sort of offset by the Yetzer. Once you get past the Yetzer, you have a volitional get. So you don't really need to say ratzon is sort of formality, or is that for like.
Well, we have to know that we've destroyed it. Like, we have to know that the Yetzer has been sufficiently muted. That now all sum total you have ruts on the garish on theory number one.
Okay, but wouldn't you know that it's been sufficiently removed if you actually do it again?
So in any case where a husband gives a get.
Any case where a husband, well, after he's been tortured, you can assume that the deeds have been removed. So now it's a volitional get. Maybe he doesn't say rotzon because the rotzon is always there. Sort of
no, on theory number one, the rotzon, if by rotzon you mean volition, the rotzon is often not there when it's offset by the yetzer.
I'm thinking rotzon, yetzer, torture comes and sort of like pries the yetzer off, and now you have the rotzon is sort of free, and now you have a volitional get. That's the way I would say. So. Is that
very theory two?
Maybe I'm just on theory two.
Yeah.
No, that sounds like theory one.
Yeah, that's what I thought we were saying.
So what's your question?
No, I don't really get why you need Rotzen to tell you that it's a volitional get because he's giving the get.
I think if he gives the get, that would also be fine.
Yeah.
No, but we're trying to just a part of
that. He doesn't need a Rotzen.
I don't know.
He just gives the get.
Well, you're asking a question. Here's how I understand your question. Theory number one, what role does Rotzani play? You could have said that the moment he gives a get, he's clearly giving it volitionally. Right?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. It could be that he's giving a get. He's acting contrary to what he wants to do.
You can't be sure that
even if he's giving a get, maybe he's giving it contrary to his wants and desires.
You can ask that question for theory two.
For theory two, you can't, because theory two says that we know what he wants. Given the nature of a Jewish person, we know what he wants.
Yes.
For which theory?
You don't need
it. We'll see this in some Achronim later on the Chavetz Yar. They're going to say, yeah, Rotzani, you don't really need Rotzani. Right? That's a view in the Achronim.
And if you haven't given the get, you don't
need. Correct. I mean, that's the whole point. Theory number two, the Rotzani is just a way of saying, Acha Yitain, right, blah, 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 etc. Nachshoni's asking, well, what about theory number one? That you need his ratzon. Like, we can't assume you have ratzon until you quash the yetzer. Quashing the yetzer is not just the din and the nesinas, I guess, the din and getting ratzon. Why don't we assume the moment he's giving the get that then you willy nilly have ratzon? Because why else is he giving the get? Yes?
Kind of, yeah.
And the answer is no, because sometimes somebody could act. Yeah, somebody can, just because you're acting doesn't mean that it's your volition to act that way. You're acting contrary to your best judgment. You're acting contrary to what you want to be doing.
Can you say Rotzani and not mean it also?
Well,
in the same vein, you can say Rotzani and not mean it because you don't want to be beaten, but you're acting contrary to your will for them. Even if you say Rotzani, it's the same as getting to get
it. Stronger.
You're saying, what does Rotzani accomplish then?
Yeah, why is it like more indicative of your thoughts
than just doing it? Well, I guess in one case you're saying that you want to do it. So you might say, oh, Daz Balding made him dummy. He testified that he wants to do it.
Right. The other one is doing the thing itself. You also can't know.
It would be a question either way. It's
an interesting point. I think so. Zev's reinforcing of Nachshoni's comment is, if somebody could do something and we still have reason to think they're acting contrary to their ratzon, so then somebody could say something. They could say that they're acting within their ratzon and act against it. But you could see why. Yeah, it's a little stronger once. Yeah, like exactly. Once the person says I'm acting freely, what more do you, like, what more can we do?
Well, right, so we could not beat him up and see if he still said
that's not how
we could beat him up and see.
Not beat him up and see if he still wants to give it a go. It's impossible to know if somebody can change somebody's mind. It's impossible to know. So it must be, I think, when somebody
studies
the universal world that says,
this right, Okay, but here's a way of thinking about it. Does saying Rotsani add anything to the action? You think it's Dorsum Ask Point?
Yeah, but he said it's kind of variant telling you what happens when you force someone. And given that, don't care about that, so not working.
I think given that we're coercing somebody to do something, does Rotsani add anything to the fact that he's doing the action?
So
you're saying no.
I
think you could always substitute what's any doing it. Probably.
Maybe.
It's just it's weird. Like, you don't torture a guy until he gives it again. You torture the guy until he agrees to give it again. But if you tortured him until he gave it again.
I mean, I think Kevin can't be as better as they.
That's the discussion next time. So, right. But you say what?
That it can't be that it's better to get him to say Rotsani and to do that.
The question is it better to get him? So if he's doing it and he's saying I'm doing it volitionally, is that better than him merely doing it? Right, so my sense is that yes.
Why?
And Benny's point is that yes, right? Because he said that he's doing it volitionally. That's better than him just doing it. Because we know people do things under duress.
It's better in the sense that it can't exist behind this if it works.
But it seems like that only applies if he's like, he doesn't have to say Rosetti. If he doesn't know they're going to stop when he says Rosetti, it's like when you give the get and he just adds on his own accord, yeah, I want to do this also. If you convince me. But no, they're going to hit him until he says Rosetti, so he's hit the Rosetti. That's the only time Rosetti actually tells you something. Is that they weren't waiting for those words.
By your being Zap, that's your.
I do get your point.
Right, so we're going to look at the Rotsani discussion to see. Some Afarnim are skeptical of that, and they'll say that you don't actually need to say Rotsani. The question is there a reason to distinguish between Theory 1 and Theory 2 with respect to the verbal declaration of Rotsani? So we could reserve judgment on that based off Nachshoni's point. So let's look at the Maritats and then at the Orsamas discussion of it. So I added the Maritats, where you don't have to look deeply at it. We're just going to look at two paragraphs at page 20 in the source sheet, if you have the updated source sheet. Who's the Maritats? Gave you a little bio. Salon, yes. What's his story?
He's Smarty.
Okay.
He was his father.
Okay. Century.
Yeah. He went around the world collecting
his schnarring for the Jewish community.
Yeah.
So let's look at his tshuva here. Simon Pei Gimel, which is what the Rameir Simcha started quoting. So who's gonna take us through the first make a chance to see this morning? A little bit. Peek at it. So I'll take us through it. He cites the Tshuva d'Aglos Maimonios Ima mumar haya meosan shakofano solagarish. Kegon shamar eni zan veni mefarnesh. I didn't know sin should be sol kofano so. Ima hemir, but yeshmanu kwach lachofalagarish, ikaifinan le olo. So what does he want to know? If you have a mumar who's chayim ikar adin to divorce his wife. Now we have a tshuva that goes harmonious about what? This Torah or Sameach quoted. There's two deyas about if the mere fact that you're a mumar, is that a basis to be kofa gerushin? We saw that in Simon Kofan Dalit. It depends whether we think that the wife would want to remain married to someone who's a mumar. But here, the Maritats wants to know not a stump, it's not the mere fact that the person became an apostate, but the person's an apostate and there are independent grounds for compelling a divorce. So he's a mumar and he's not supporting his wife. Everybody see that? So what's the suffix? L'chafiha nira, l'chora nira, de kofanoso, de lama yigara b'shvil shehemir. Shaya nira, de roya l'chofo k'fiha din, v'chim b'pnei shehemir yechote niskar. So what's his first pass suggestion?
Force him.
To force him. Why?
It'd be harder to...
Yeah, why should a mumar be any different than any other Jew? If you'd force a regular Jew to divorce his wife under these circumstances, then you should force a mumar also. Why should we be less stringent on a mumar than on a kosher Jew? Oh, so that's the suggestion. So, but in his first pass, he says, "Kshadin be Yisrael shakofen mikol shakein kishehemir shakofen kach nira kepiadin." He thinks that mikar din, if you would force a Jew, alachas kam v'kama, you would force a Jew who rebelled and became an apostate. And then he cites the Rambam. What's that?
I just asked what a mumar was.
Oh, yeah, someone who rejects Judaism. Okay. They convert to another religion.
It's good thing I don't know that word.
Yeah.
There's, like, specific differences between, like, the mumar and the kofar and, like, this, depending on...
For some things, yeah, depending on the context.
I'm not sure how much that's right.
So, probably here, not much. So then he cites the Rambam, and he notes that phrase in the Rambam. What's the key phrase? Rotelios mi Yisrael. Nimsa shalom matzatam elavnesha rotelios mi Yisrael v'shiyitzu tokvo. So mi mishumad, I guess. Shemisha himir ha-re'ina rotelios mi Yisrael. Somebody who's a mishumad doesn't want to be a Jew anymore. Shekvar yatzam min haklal. V'lo shayich tamzeh. And this logic is no longer applicable that we could assume it's Lishma de Chachamim and that he's in line with that. Hilkachi he get Badel. Imhu Mumar Sha'ansu also Lagarish, Bemadin Yisrael, Bemadin Yisraelam. De lo Shayech Taima, de Kasav Arambam, Kimacharot, Elios Mi'Yisrael. That's a very straightforward argument. That in the case of a Mumar, the logic doesn't apply. So Kfiya on a get for that Mumar, the get will be Badel. Now, this is a very nice nafkamina, by the way, to show that it's not Agav Onse Gamar Makni. Because if you're working with the Agav Onse Gamar Makni, then the moment you twist the Mishumad or the Mumar's arm and he says, Rotzani, then, oh, like we know that he wants the pain to cease, that gives us enough das. Correct? So he's clearly thinks the Rambam doesn't rely on Agav Onse Gamar Makni. You need this other ground of wanting to do deep down what the Chachamim want you to do. And when that's absent, in the case of a Mumar, the get's going to be Bata and the Kfiya is not valid. B'mumar lo shayich namimar hachi, sharei pireik ol ha-toru mitzvos, v'eina rotza lios mi'Yisrael. And then there's a slight counter-argument. Hafal gav de'yesh lomar da'afilu mumar rotza lios. Elish, I guess it must be Leos mi Yisrael. Elish she yitzur with pakba lame, lahamir lak lame marafi. What's that counter argument for a second, Ned? Oh.
Right.
Yeah, in his soul, you want deep, just used to go deeper down, but deeper down, he wants to be a Jew, and it's like his yitzer that's misgaber to be. So lekel mimarachi kivan shehimir lo shayach time of the Rambam abeget batel. Now let me just pause on the second point for a second. I think the second point is really interesting because it's very clear that the Al-Sheikh probably wouldn't agree with this. Right? Because the Al-Sheikh's point is that it's not an empirical assessment on each Jew's ratzon. I think this is the nature of a Jewish soul that they want to do what's right. So even in the case of a Mumar, you don't have to peer into his mind and see if he wants to. Like we know, he has a Jewish neshama, just like the planets want to orbit the sun, so too this guy wants to do the mitzvahs. The Maritat is rejecting that, and he's saying we have to have grounds for believing that he wants to do the mitzvahs. And the Mumar, we have no grounds for believing that he wants to do the mitzvahs. What are the empirical grounds? Like I said, the guy in general is a member of a Jewish community. That gives us grounds for thinking that he wants to do what the Chachamim think he ought to do. Okay. What's that? So, flesh those out.
Should he have a religious courtier in Israel?
Yeah, for a non-observant Jew. Right, or you have to figure out what does it mean, Rotu Leos mi Israel, but it's a pretty important maritats. Now let me ask this question before we go to the Or Sameach. Why, you're faced with somebody who has conflicting wants. He wants to be a Jew, as evidenced by what?
Kippah.
His kippah. Or he goes to shul, whatever it is. But we know that he doesn't want to divorce his wife. Why should we prioritize one of those over the other? Like, why not say that? Just like in the Meshumet case, we know there's something that could defeat his want, Lishma Deri Chachamim. So why not say that he's so lahachis against his wife that Ratzon is stronger than his Ratzon of Leos Mi'Yisrael? Meaning, which is the Ikar, which is the Tafel, and why should we say that one yield and bends towards the other? Josh, you have a thought on that?
Yeah, you could say that everybody's naturally inclined to do the right thing, or that maybe you can make a metaphysical claim. Alternatively, you can make a metaphysical claim on, like, the Jewish one is superior in this case, but I think you can also...
It's just the more fundamental...
Yeah.
Like, meaning when we look into the mind, we see, like, there are more... Like, there are deeper, more better-rooted...
The Torah of Ego, something like that, like a real temple. That's one thing to make. Or you can say, like, everybody really wants to do the right thing. It's just like...
But you don't say that with a Mumar,
right? Right, that's the Havamina of the Maritats is for the Mumar. Let's say, oh, look, that's the thing. The Al-Sheikh, I think, would disagree with the Maritats. See, Yoni. We know that deep down you really want to be in Shir.
You have to say good Shir.
Josh?
Listen, I have a question based on this. Not to like bring up like a random what if, but I mean, are we saying possibly that there's a difference between maybe him, like, you know, being angry and hating his wife, we might say, oh, that's just your emotions. You don't really want to not divorce her. Your emotions are just getting the better of you. But let's say the reason he doesn't want to divorce his wife is because they've been married for 10 years and he loves her, and the baby is coming and telling them that they have to get divorced because they want to have kids. In that situation, you might say that that's a deep rooted desire not to divorce her. And they're so are we going to now weigh the considerations of why he doesn't want to divorce her?
That's kind of it's a different way of putting the question, meaning. Like, are we just trying to weigh Ritzon, like how firmly anchored Rotel Leos Mi'Yisrael is against his das to divorce his wife? To not divorce his wife?
Because if he did, you would also have to look at the das not divorce his wife in each and every case.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's not saying that's not the sense you get from the Rambam. Right, you don't get the sense that it's a case by assessment of weighing the his pro
so
and
I need to bring to the Hamar and the
yes, that's what I'm asking. Right, that's what I'm asking. But Josh had an answer, I think. What was your answer?
I think it's the metaphysical thing about it. The Jewish soul is.
No, but that's the Al-Shif. We're in the Maritats now. The Maritats is saying that it is defeasible in some cases. Like you could defeat the presumption of Rotzei Lehiyos Meyisrael whenever he's a Mumar. Right?
Oh, so that he wants to do the right thing. Not true.
But in the Mumar case, that's not true, right?
Yeah.
Ashani? Ends up.
I mean, it's easier to look at the Mumar situation. Because it's not like you're just weighing two negative aspects. It's not like, oh, he's doing this thing wrong, he's doing that thing wrong. No, someone who's a mummer, literally someone saying, I don't aspire to keep Torah mitzvos. I mean, basically telling us, it's not like you're just weighing two different levels of bad things. It's like, one is he's doing something wrong, and we don't know how attached to that he is. And the other one, he's saying, I don't want to follow the Torah. So like, we can trust him that he's not aspiring to.
Okay, but let's take the case where somebody wants to, he's still going to Minyan, he's going to Minyan, he's going to Seder and everything. So we know he's Rotzei Lehiyos Meyisrael. He tells us he doesn't want to divorce his wife. Why should we think that one of those is truer than the other?
Oh, I thought we were weighing not wanting to get divorced versus someone that's a mourner, believing one or the other.
In a regular case, going to Maritats.
Right.
Maritats says that in the case of the Mumar, this whole presumption falls away.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Because he doesn't want to do.
I thought you were asking why it falls away with the Mumar and not with.
No, that's under that we understand, right.
Yeah,
okay. But I'm saying, but in a non-Mumar case, why should we assume that his real Ratzon is Lagarish, but. Or why should we assume that the Ratzon Lagarish prevails over the Ratzon Shalol Lagarish? Right. Zev and then.
Yeah, I think we don't necessarily say that one is stronger than the other. I think it's just that in this, again, evidently the desire not to get, the desire not to get divorced is stronger because that's what he's doing, like on his own, you know?
Yeah.
He wouldn't get divorced. Evidently that actually is stronger than the deep-seated desire to be mitzvot. In this case, but I think it's just that we, in this case, because there's a mitzvah to get divorced, that's the ideal state. So we're trying to find like one piece, one tiny piece of his ratzon where we can say he actually does want to do this in a certain sense, deep down, because he wants to do mitzvah. So we're gonna like dig down and find that one little thing, even though that's not even the majority of his thoughts.
Oh, that's a really interesting view.
And then
okay,
then,
so yeah, so I take it that Zev, think about this for a second. What I take Zev to be saying is along the lines of the Yachid from last year, meaning that as long as there's like some flame, there's like something in his mind that's pro Gerushin, we could magnify that and say, well, like it's in his mind that there's Das Lagari somewhere. Let's illuminate that. Let's magnify it. Let's bring that to the center of everything. And that's sufficient Lirtzono for Lirtzono.
Right. But the Mumar doesn't have.
The Mumar has like, there's nothing in there. There's no neuron that's pro Gershon in the Mumar's mind.
It's almost certainly some.
What?
There's almost certainly some reason why.
Yeah, you know.
Like, there's some benefit, there's some tax benefit, there's something,
not substantial enough.
Okay, fine.
That's what Zeb would say.
Like, you might want to do the good in a very big sense also, but
that's kind of weird, though. It's much more compelling what you're saying if there really is nothing in there. If the reason why you're driving on over third line is where it's
significant enough. I mean, I guess,
right, like, how big does the flame have to be, right? Right. You think, well, Mishlo Shemot to become, that's right. Enough. And then.
Yeah, somehow that's, well, that's a legally significant.
Right, Mishlo Shemot to become. Right, you might say, not, it's not any consideration pro divorce. It's got to be a legally significant one. What's a legally? So you could get it through Mishlo Shemot to, that's tantamount to Das Lagarish. But Zev, what's interesting about Zev's point is that, Zev is basically saying that the mitzvah shmolat of the chachamim is just like an independent consideration in the back of his mind. And we're tapping into that, like we're pouring kerosene on it to like make that his like super das.
Yeah. I mean, right? Yeah, I can see you saying like your own point, like you could even go further and say like even his general desire to be a good person or something is
sufficient.
But I could also see you making a distinction.
Right. So the nice thing about what your response to that, you're conceding that it's not that we think that there's something more fundamental, like not like Josh was saying, there's nothing more fundamental about the mitzvah l'shmo debrei chachamim that should override the anti-divorce sentiment in his mind. Right. If any had a comment, then Rumi and then Daniel.
Well, what I was going to say is when the yitzer is taking over, it's from somebody who has the inner want to do business with an Amaris. Somebody who wants that inner want is somebody who wants to be a part of Israel. That's what the Rambam said. Mumar doesn't even want to be a part of Israel, so he doesn't have that situation where he has a Yetzer blocking him, because he doesn't have the top part. Top part is you want to be part of Israel. After that, you want to do the mitzvah and don't want to be a Amaris. And then you have your Yetzer that blocks you that. But if the guy doesn't have the top part, then we're not...
But I'm asking in a case where the guy is Rotzei Lios Miyisrael, why should we say that overrides his Ratzon Shelo L'Garish? And Zev's answer is that it doesn't. It just allows us to tap into that separate piece of Das that's there. Right? That's Zev's point. Daniel, you have a different view?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of working off of that, but then also maybe bridging and switch off the thing. But the identity, like, right, what's the, like, when you identify it as we don't know what the do, you kind of identify yourself to subjects you subject yourself to by God's will. And we have, and you, in general speaking, you try to precedence that a lot of other mythical that you do, such as like eating a cheeseburger, which is described, but you don't eat a cheeseburger because you subject yourself to God's will, not because you have, that's what you believe, it's like that's the wrong thing to do. You believe it because that's what we're told to believe. But because of that, then, since you've already had that desire, shown that you have that desire to subject yourself to God's will, therefore they can pour onto that, even in cases when, at the moment, you may not, because...
Let me ask this. Why should we prioritize your showing that you subject yourself to God's will over your showing that you're not going to give your wife a get?
Because you've shown that you firmly believe in it.
You firmly believe that you shouldn't be giving your wife a get, no?
I mean, yeah. I guess this is why I said working off of what Zed was saying, is that it's because you've already had that feeling of, like, that feeling of already wanting to, like, do what is right, like.
Right, but Zeb's saying that it's fine for people have contradictory thoughts, desires, reasons in their minds. For volitional divorce, all you need to do is tap into the one that's pro-divorce. That's sufficient. And are you agreeing with that? Or are you saying that, there's a reason why the wanting to be, showing yourself to be an Orthodox Jew prevails over the anti-Gershon sentiment?
I'd say it's more along the lines of whatever thing that because you have able to kind of like jump on what you're, because of this presence that you have shown yourself, there's no proof to say that you want to give your wife a yes because you know that. The only proof is that there's a demonstration that you've already have the capacity of willing to let yourself protect yourself. Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of what I said.
Okay. That gives us reason why your road to Leos Misrael.
Yeah.
Okay. Here was that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But where was the bridge to Josh?
I guess it's more fundamental.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to push you. Yeah, I think the bridge to Josh is where it gets interesting, but you're walking away from that.
I guess I am. It's fundamental, but a different way. It's different. It's fundamental in a different way.
What's
in the sense of why you'd be willing, fundamental in how and why you have, and why the best thing would have that seed to work off of before.
Josh, you're gonna Josh Brockman can help you out.
Although, like, I don't know, maybe what you're trying to say that it's not that like fundamentally like that like every Jewish soul is like trying to choose to be Jewish or something, but lifestyle choices that like you know is how you generally go through your whole life is a more fundamental reflection of your decision making process as a person than a specific action you do that goes against your general lifestyle choice.
Yeah, but that's going to work well with that.
No,
yeah.
I think it's a competing explanation with Zev's, because what Josh is saying now is that we have a reason to prioritize the Rotze Elios Miyisrael over the Einar Rotze Lagarish. Zev thinks we have no reason to prioritize. He's just saying it's sufficient that we tap into some genuine das that's in the mind. But Josh is saying, here's a reason why Rotze Elios Miyisrael is a more significant das than the Einar Rotze Lagarish. Correct, Josh? And what's your answer? Why is it a more significant? What's your approach? Why is it a more significant das? Because
lifestyle choices are more important than the choices about single actions, something like that.
Ned's cringing.
Why?
Ned, why are you cringing?
No, I'm in the middle of life.
Right, I also cringe at lifestyle choices.
I don't have the
but
choice of
you could say it better, right? Say it.
Say,
I think the right thing to say there is that, well, which one of these is a more important, yeah, which is more holistic, comprehensive, like which is a more comprehensive decision that this person undertook. Right?
I think that one's like based on just like ideals and one's based on sort of just like
no, that's a different way of thinking. Hold off on that. I want to come back to that in a second. I think that's textually the best with the Rambam, what you're saying. But let's explore Josh's point for a second. I think Josh's point is saying, like, look in the person's mind. How many of his beliefs, mental states, etc., turn, click, depend on his belief in God? It's like so much of that. Right, so like to understand this guy, like you have to understand that he's moved by, he's motivated, his reasons are determined by belief in God and wanting to do the mitzvah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then people do some like weird things every now and then, right? So this guy has a hangup, he won't give his wife a get. How many things in this guy's life depend on his not giving his wife a get? A very small fraction of them. And so the thought is that the anchoring of the Rotze Elios Miyisrael is just a much bigger central belief commitment of this person than the Sif Katan and Nochos Gevurshin that he doesn't want to divorce his wife. It's just like, if I were to say, like, I don't know, Daniel, what do you like, vanilla or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Right. So you can see that's like a much less of your belief system depends on that commitment. And let's say your beliefs about Judaism, God, Orthodox Judaism, right?
I mean, you can also meet the argument.
Well, let's assume you said yes. So that's why we would prioritize the Rotze Elios Miyisrael over the Einar Rotze Lagarish. Did everybody see that? Now, of course, the Mumar, that's the opposite, right? We know that so much of his belief system is rejecting the Rotze Elios Miyisrael, et cetera, et cetera. So there we're justified in saying that that's more fundamental to his worldview. That's a bigger piece. More of his outlook depends on that than on, so than on, I guess.
There's a
new stuff. Yeah. Absent. But there's nothing forcing us to revisit the small belief. Another way of putting this is to say, like, look, if you look in someone's mind, they have all sorts of things going on, right? These dots are all different, like, thoughts, right? But, like, a whole bunch of these depend on God's existence, something like that, right? Or the Torah. And only like one of them depends on no divorce. And these are inconsistent with each other. So one of these has to go. So the one that we're going to say goes, in order to make his thoughts coherent, we say this thing is just like something we can dismiss and really is Das. Now, by the way, in Zev's picture, does everybody understand this view? In Zev's picture, the guy could have two thoughts. Two thoughts in his head. This is God, whatever. This is no divorce. And Zev saying it's sufficient that we can just tap into one of these to say that he's divorcing volitionally. That's Zev's picture. Josh, I think this is very compelling. But not that yours is not compelling. I think yours is consistent with the other. Okay. Now, I think this is a good explanation. You can make sense of the Maritats. Why in the case of the Mumar, where you don't have this, there's no reason to say, looking into this guy's mind, we have to revisit his no divorce commitment. Okay? So it's about how fundamental, how central the Rota Leos Ministral is to this person's mindset. And as Ned said earlier, in terms of a practical nafkamina, you might say, oh, maybe there are people for whom, let's say you're socially orthodox. So maybe then you're closer to this picture, right? Or it's like you have only two things that are kind of pulling you in Rota Leos Ministral. Maybe in those cases, we're not justified in saying that the person really wants to do what's right according to the Torah. You see that? Now, there is a different model that you could suggest, which I think is probably the best one textually in the realm, which we'll get to in a second. But we had some comments. Ezra, you had a comment? Ned, you had a comment?
Why don't you just say these two values, they contradict each other, therefore everything.
That's
what we say. Just move on.
What?
No.
Instead of calling them like fundamental ideas floating around, like maybe they heard.
Well, one's fundamental, the other one is just like,
okay.
It's like Daniel liking chocolate.
Sure. I would say maybe formulated as think like how much of his deliberation, decision making process has come down to extra wild over his lifetime. If he's a God fearing Jew, then we know that his deliberation process is blended.
Correct. That's the same as this picture in my mind.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think this is like more parts of the brain are populated by it. But yes, like you could say a person makes a million decisions in their life. If 900,000 of them are determined by divine will, and one of them or 50,000 of them are determined by his hating his wife, then, and those are inconsistent, we have to make sense. Like, what does this guy truly believe? And we sort it out for him and say, oh, he really wants to divorce his wife. Yeah, throw me in it.
Isn't it much more compelling to just say, like, kind of the way that you said it? He's not wanting to divorce the wife, the did not wanting to divorce the wife, not a did not wanting to be a Jew. Like the way you just said it, meaning 9 out of 1,000 of the choices are about his belief in God or whatever, and 50,000 are that he doesn't want to divorce the wife. Okay, not wanting to divorce the wife doesn't have any bearing on what you're standing as a Jew. Meaning, it does in certain sense. But all you're saying, you don't want to divorce my wife. You're not saying, I think this is a bad halacha. I think God is wrong.
That's a consequence, but not like in the actions and like that deliberation.
So wait, what gives us the right to say that he wants to divorce his wife? Like Kargir Shlertsono.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. I'm saying, I'm turning the explanation to the same point. Shouldn't that just be to say that with the way that you're formulating this, we're assuming in his mind what he's saying is, I don't want to divorce my wife. Okay. Doesn't mean you don't want to be part of.
What allows us
to stand for any type of identity? Meaning,
so the Rambam is making an inference from this Rota Leos Ministral, that could override or change this part of the inner Rota Ligare.
Right.
And I'm saying, why should it go this way and not this way?
Yeah, so I'm offering a different.
Or not even forget about this way, or just say, why not say his true das is no divorce? Like, why does this force us to revisit this? And the answer is that because there's something more privileged about the way the space that other stuff occupies and Yudi's formulation, the number of decisions that are affected by that. Right? Like let's say Daniel's example. Let's say God said that vanilla is better. And Daniel thinks he likes chocolate better. And the answer, you look in his mind, you say, oh, Daniel really likes vanilla. Like, if you could be better, like all these decisions.
You're saying, even though it's in direct opposition to God's will, he's really saying, God's will is wrong here, God's will is bad here. It's just, it's outnumbered by the row of things that are in line with God's
We're trying to figure out what this guy wants. Does he want to divorce his wife or not divorce his wife? And the Rambam is saying that because he wants to be a Jew, he really wants to divorce his wife. But we're saying, how do you know that? Why not say the opposite? Maybe either he doesn't really want to be a Jew, or maybe he's not even thinking about that. I don't know. Now, I think you take Daniel's hand in a second. I think you could offer a third model. So this is number one, that's number two. What's the third model? And that is, oh, Ned, you were going to say something. What? Do you agree with Romy or? Is that a rub and emergence of ethical man? No. I just sent out a blurry picture.
So your hands look like magic.
Yeah. Okay. The third model, maybe this is what the Rambam's saying in his language, is that there's a difference between intellectual epistemic commitments.
Yeah.
Well, how convenient that you didn't say that when I say it, you say that's what you're gonna. So tell us what are you gonna say?
That what you call God's distance and all those consequences, the nature of those questions is not like cerebral in some way. That those are just something that you're kind of, that's a worldview that you're existing in, and then you have. The fact of divorcing or not divorcing your wife is like an actual ethical decision, which is different, distinct from
I was going to put it a little differently. I was going to say that the distinction is between commitments to beliefs and things that you affirm intellectually versus things that are desire, that are desire-based. And especially people like the Rambam would think that there's something more, like desires are always tricky things that actually, they confuse, they act contrary to your intellectual affirmation of truth, right? What? Yeah, exactly. Correct. Like aesthetic type things like desire that work in opposition to your like truth and falsehood commitments. So Rotz Elios Miyisrael, you'd have to say, is something like a truth falsehood. That's like what I'm thinking in terms of like the Ikari Emuna. Right, these are just kind of known propositions that are well established. And then, this guy is in a petty fight? What? Not a feud, a spat?
Kerfuffle.
Something like that, right? He's in like a petty fight with his wife, and like he's angry, and what? A tiff, yeah. And he doesn't want to divorce her, something like that, whatever. He's spiteful, and so he doesn't want to divorce her. And so there's a reason. So it's not because like the how well ground, how firmly anchored is, etc. But like desire-based wants, beliefs, etc. Are always different, less reliable than like philosophically grounded ones. So I guess that's basically the idea you're getting at, Ned, or?
I'm just going to take it one more level and say that they are philosophically grounded.
They're not philosophically grounded at all?
No, they are philosophically grounded. They're not experienced as philosophically grounded. So that's like a showing of hand on this other question.
Okay, hold on. This is a picture you see a lot in like there's stuff that's like Yetzer based, and then there's stuff that's like Seichel based, right? And one way of reading this Rambam is that the Rambam is saying, hey, at the Seichel level, he's wrote to Leos Miyisrael, that's his like core intellectual commitment. Then he has taivas. And like here his taiva is to fight with his wife. Like that's like an emotional. And the emotional is always batel to the deep intellectual commitment. Josh, and then I'm not sure.
So let's say the guy's not even socially orthodox, but let's say the reason he's doing all of Judaism is because he's afraid of punishment. It has nothing to do with Hashem per se, it has to do with whether or not it's desire-based. So something like that is a desire-based decision that you don't want to get punished.
Like what? Perfect. I'm going to get punished because God can punish.
Right, but right. I mean, that's not...
So it presupposes third intellectual beliefs, no?
Well, yeah, but the intellectual belief about Hashem existing isn't the same thing as the intellectual belief of why he's doing it. He's doing it because of desires. So.
I think what matters here is sorting out the commitments.
But Hashem existing and not wanting to get divorced have nothing to do with each other.
They do. Well, Hashem, Hashem commands him to.
But the only reason he's doing the commands is because of the desires. That's not more fundamental than just.
Well, it's not why he's doing the command. The question is, like, what does he hold about this? Like, what does he hold true?
I guess I don't get the definition of desire-based things then, and like whatever the other one is.
You're saying that if it's doing out of relation, not get punished, and it's still some sort of...
That's a desire-based consideration.
But it also presupposes in this case.
Right. It's grounded in certain non-desire-based.
Otherwise, I wouldn't take punishment.
Well, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, but like, can't you see the Rambam see viewing a mourner as someone who's making the decisions based on desire also? Because he's obviously wrong, so it's not really a matter of honest intellectual inquiry. It has more to do with
the eyeballs. I mean, to depend on him for a half as much.
The half is almost like it could be, I guess.
Yes, it might depend on what type of mummer he is for the Rambam's view, right? I would say going against. Not a Malachus versus a Teflon per se, but like an intellectual Mumar versus Mumar who's just like not motivated.
I was wondering if the Rambam would see somebody who's a Mumar as in having someone who's avoiding facts or.
Yeah, what does he think about Mamrim in general?
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the part, I agree with the language here is a little tricky because Me'achar Shehu wrote to Elios Mi'Yisrael. Right, so it's a tricky formulation. Like assuming that the guy wants to be a Jew. Right, not like that he knows that, like, not that he affirms, but that could just be like someone who affirms that Judaism is true. That's the, not just wanting to be part of the Jewish community. So I agree though, the formulation here is a little tricky. They already have traction on the three models to explain why, how you make sense of the, like why we should prioritize the Rotz Elios Mi'Yisrael over the Einar Oz L'Garish.
Wait, what's the third?
So you have Zev's model that we're not prioritizing any, but so long as he has a Rotz on L'Garish, that's sufficient to say that he's volitionally being L'Garish. That's Zev's thought. And there's this model, which is Josh Brockman saving Daniel Zoldy. And then you have a third model that says that it depends on the conflict between the beliefs or the wants, desires. You would always prioritize the intellectual, rationally grounded ones over the emotionally desire-based ones. And the Rotz Elios Mi'Yisrael, you just have to say, is talking about a belief system versus the Einar Rotz L'Garish Ishto, which is the guy being angry or vindictive, something against his wife. Or even just that he has a desire to remain married. Good? Okay, so we'll stop here. Next year, we'll start with Or Sameach's analysis. And we'll cover a lot of ground in the Achronim. About road time. All right, Shkoyach.
Okay.